I'd like to introduce our next panel member. We'll be talking about a wonderful model program that's already being replicated in San Francisco and some other counties in California, and we've had some requests from other states, so I hope that you will also be enthusiastic about this. Dr. Sawyer is a professor of clinical pediatrics and a pediatric infectious disease specialist at the UC San Diego School of Medicine and Rady Children's Hospital in San Diego. He's a medical director of the UCSD San Diego Immunization Partnership under San Diego's Agency for Health and Human Services. He is on the committee. Sorry, I can't read my own notes. He's on the advisory committee to immunization practices. So he is a very important person and involved with the California State Immunization Branch on their advisory committee. He's the past president of the California Immunization Coalition, and I could go on and on. You can see that he's very illustrious, so I'll just let him talk.
Thank you, Tammy. It's a pleasure to be here, and I want to thank Tammy for putting together this session. I think I've been involved in immunizations quite directly over the last 15 years or so with my local health department in San Diego. And it became clear to me quite early on that the science and the recommendations are nice, but they don't carry the day completely, that we really have to engage the community directly in different ways because different approaches work for different people. So I'm really happy to be part of this group, which is sharing with you several different approaches to communicating directly with the community. And all those fancy credentials didn't really do me much good as I stood before a group of 30 or 40 parents who had concerns about vaccine safety. And really it's about establishing a rapport and establishing some credibility with this group and seriously entertaining their concerns. So what I'm going to share with you is a model we've been trying in San Diego over the last couple of years, in which we directly go out to the community and hold parent forums and engage them. I have no conflicts of interest, but I'll emphasize that it's important to share that information in any kind of community exchange as well, because the community deserves to know what conflicts you're bringing to the discussion. So our objectives for this session is, at the end of this, you're going to be comfortable in holding a community forum by being able to list the steps required to identify some key partnerships that can help you carry out such forums and find resources to adapt this model to your community. So I think the reasons for having these events are pretty self-evident. We've all been living the world of anti-vaccine sentiment, vaccine hesitancy, information flowing wildly on the internet about various risks or concerns about vaccines. And I think it took the scientific and medical community a while to realize that we really needed to get out there and engage in the same sort of level that the anti-vaccine movement was engaging in, one-on-one, social media, internet communication, and that we couldn't continue to just operate business as usual. So the idea behind this was to offer the expertise in person. You could see real-life flesh-and-blood people who could communicate the concepts, who had experience and credentials in the area. And I think it continues to be important to include autism in discussions about vaccine safety, even though scientifically I think that's pretty much been laid to rest. It has not been laid to rest in the community. And really it's all about building trust with vaccine-hesitant parents. So I think the key strategies are to go to where the parents are, both physically and geographically, in areas where you know you have high-risk communities. You need to find easily accessible and free venues in which to hold these events, and you need to hold them at a time of day when parents and patients can come, which in our case was pretty much confined to the evenings. In terms of finding out where the communities are, I mean, there's lots of ways you can do that. We chose to look at the kindergarten retrospective surveys that are conducted annually, and this is a map of San Diego County. And the red dots represent kindergartens, and the size of the dot correlates with the number of children who are unimmunized in a kindergarten classroom, up to 20 in the big red dots. So the first place we held the event, if this, I don't know if the mouse shows up. Do we have a pointer? Is that what this is? Oh, that's a pen. Well, the cluster of dots in the sort of left-hand side right along the ocean is the first place we held a community event, because that is the upper middle class neighborhoods of San Diego, Del Mar, Encinitas, if you know the area. And as you can see from the map, we had a significant problem with under-immunized kindergartners in that community. But we've gone on and we've held three of these sessions in the upper northern parts of the county where the majority of the under-immunized are, also in the eastern county, where you can also see a cluster. And we had one event in the southern part of the county where you don't see any red dots. And as you'll see from our attendance numbers, that was the least well attended. So clearly you will know in your own community where the hot spots are and good places to hold these. Free and easily accessible locations are important, and this also gives you some ideas of community partners that you might engage in such a process. We held one of these at the YMCA, one at a community library, community wellness center, one at a hospital, and one in a public health center. So I think the venue is not important other than it be accessible. So the gentleman on your right is been key to our seminars, and his name is Eric Corshane. He is in San Diego. He works at University of California, San Diego, and he is the principal investigator of a Center of Autism Excellence. So he is a basic researcher who has incredible credentials in autism. So I've had the fortune, good fortune, of him being willing to join me for these seminars and bring the science of autism to this community, because that is always the first thing that they're worried about. But in general, this slide depicts the types of expertise I think you should try to bring. You don't need to have an Eric Corshane in every community to pull this off. You need somebody who's knowledgeable about vaccine science. And that can be people of lots of descriptions. They don't have to be physicians. Over on the right-hand side are some ideas of the type of people who will have that expertise: public health nurses, infectious disease experts, people who work in your county health department, pharmacists now. There are many pharmacists who are extremely knowledgeable about the immunization science. Although you don't need an infectious disease expert, you need somebody to bring the reality of infectious disease to this community, because as you all know, one of the reasons or problems we have is they dismiss the seriousness of the infection or the likelihood their children will get the infection. So that's an important aspect. You do need to address autism science, even if you don't have an expert in autism. And I think it helps a great deal to bring patients with their own stories about why the problems they had with vaccine-preventable diseases or reasons that they chose to get immunized. And then on the right-hand side are the groups of people who can bring those various levels of expertise. We had the good fortune of having several parent or patient testimonials, people who are willing to come and share their stories, children who got vaccine-preventable disease or children who are locked up in our measles outbreak, for example, under quarantine because of the decision of other parents, adults who have had severe influenza, any of those stories, anything you can do to personalize the experience. Of course, need to promote that. We used a number of our partners to promote these. I think among the most enthusiastic were the physician offices, because they really have to struggle with this problem on a regular basis. So I think you can go to your medical community to promote the availability of such an event, because it will help them with the communication. And then a series of other local venues, newspapers, community newspapers in isolated communities, and in our case, a limited amount of media coverage for these was involved in the promotion. This is a picture, I think, maybe from our first event. I think it's the first event because there are TV cameras there. They were intrigued by the novel idea. That's Dr. Corshane up there addressing the autism science. And as you can see, there's a stroller there on the left. Lots of people show up with their babies. Lots of pregnant women show up not yet having had a baby, but having these concerns and looking for information. The core for us is not only presenting the information, but answering the common concerns. So for each one of these sessions, we have a dedicated half hour to whatever questions people want to raise, no matter how offbeat they seem to be. we addressed them, you know, with respect and brought people back to the science as much as we could, or shared the stories that we could personally about the impact of vaccine-preventable diseases. So I think the audience Q&A is the key to this. That's really the whole purpose of it. So as each one of it, we went from session to session, each time we cut down the amount of science that we presented, and we increased the amount of discussion time that went on. And usually the discussions were quite fruitful. The types of things we heard were the things that you hear every day about toxic ingredients, that we're giving too many vaccines, of course the autism story. We did not hear so much about doctors being influenced by pharmaceutical companies, but there is an inherent distrust in this group of government, of pharmacies, of doctors. So, you know, I think you have to establish the rapport in the first place, and that allows you to have a frank discussion with them. There was some media attention to this, in our case, including Spanish language interviews, and that was very helpful to continue to bring the message. This is a list of the five of our events and the attendance. So these are modest events, you know, between 30 and 50. The one at the bottom in the south part of the county only had 15 because there just aren't as many people in that community who have these vaccine concerns. And as Tammy mentioned, some other communities have started to put on events like this. There is no one absolute structure to them, but I think I've put forward the ingredients that can make you successful. And in our evaluation efforts of this, certainly we did attract the types of people we were interested in, with at least one in five having already skipped or delayed vaccines. As I mentioned, some pregnant women trying to make the decision for the first time. And at least based on survey, we felt like we were successful in that a few people said that they had changed their opinion about vaccines as a result of the discussion. You know, there are a few sort of nuts and bolts, you know, any marketing rules related to the place where you're holding the event, the audio visuals. Pre-registration can be helpful. We had one session in which we had an Arabic translator because we had a significant group from immigrant population from East Africa who attended, and they sat in the back room, you know, talking Arabic while we were up in the front speaking English. And they had a lot of good questions, which were passed through the translator. So we did hold pre-registration to get a feel for those sorts of needs and attendance, but I'm not sure that's absolutely crucial. And of course, we provided vaccine safety handouts at the events. And so there's information available for you through the California Immunization Coalition. The website is shown here, immunizecalifornia.org. There's some curriculum talking points and sample slides to help you do with that. I'm happy to engage with you about ours in more detail. This is my contact information. Catherine Martin from the California Immunization Coalition, who you're going to hear from shortly, will also, I'm sure, be able to share ideas about holding these on your own. I would encourage you to try one. They seem sort of ominous when you first start, but they're not. They're really not. And once you do one, the rest become very easy. Thanks very much.